It was the last day of August in 1977, and a 21-year-old student activist was attending an open forum at the Pamantasan ng Lungsod ng Maynila within the walled city of Intramuros. During the discussion, he boldly stood up to ask about the speaker, who was a young woman his same age, specifically why she had been appointed the national chairperson of a youth organization. The young woman, unfortunately, was the daughter of dictator Ferdinand Marcos, who had declared martial law in the country. And that one question, which was tantamount to dissent, cost the young man his life. You're listening to Stories After Dark, a Philippine true crime and mystery podcast powered by Anchor and released exclusively on Spotify, with new episodes out every week. This is the story of Archimedes Trajano, who was kidnapped and tortured to death by military personnel under the command of Aimee Marcos and Ferdinand Marcos's former right-hand man, Fabian Ver. Listener discretion is advised due to the graphic nature of this story. There isn't much known about Archimedes Trajano's background, but his nickname was Archie, and in 1977 when he was killed, he was an activist and college student at the Mapua Institute of Technology in Intramuros, Manila. On August 31, 1977, a Wednesday, an open forum was being held at the Pamantasan ng Lungsod ng Maynila campus in Intramuros. Speaking at the event attended by thousands of students was Aimee Marcos, the eldest daughter of Ferdinand Marcos, who was president at the time. Archie, who was there, stood up to ask a question. Quote, "Must the kabataang barangay be headed by the president's daughter? She would not have gotten the position if she weren't the daughter of the president," end quote. Established in 1975 by Ferdinand Marcos, the Kabataang Barangay was a youth council meant to represent the youth in every barangay or village in the Philippines. Aimee Marcos had indeed been appointed by his father as the council's national chairperson in 1977, and the question that Archie asked apparently irritated her. It wasn't long after when witnesses at the forum saw Archie being seized by the presidential daughter's bodyguards and forcibly taken from the venue. He was blindfolded and tortured, and then thrown out of a second-floor window, to be found bloodied and dead on the streets of Manila 2 days later on September 2. Where Archie was taken and what forms of torture he was subjected to are unknown, but he was estimated to have been tortured for 12 to 36 hours based on the amount of time that had passed since he was taken to when his body was discovered. He bore signs of beating and his face and body were severely mangled. Archie's mother, Agapita Trajano, recalled the time she saw him saying, quote, "He was covered in a white sheet, lying on a table, and when I opened the sheet, I saw him black and blue," end quote. Ferdinand Marcos had declared martial law in the country, and ruling by decree he dissolved civil liberties including freedom of the press. As almost all media outlets that time were government-controlled, Archie's death wasn't reported in local newspapers, though a Bulletin Today article published the day after Archie's body was found talked of college campus deaths, quote, "due to hazings conducted by fraternities," end quote. Because it wasn't yet possible to charge Aimee Marcos and her bodyguards of conspiracy to murder, Archie's mother, Agapita, had to wait until the 1986 People Power Revolution that would remove Ferdinand Marcos from power. Maria Imelda Josefa Romualdez Marcos, or Aimee, was born on November 12, 1955 in Mandaluyong, Metro Manila, the eldest child of Ferdinand and Imelda Marcos. Aimee was 10 years old when her father became president in 1965, and she spent much of her life after that living in Malacañang Palace, which is the official residence of the Philippine First Family. She attended the Institucion Teresiana, now St. Pedro Poveda College in Quezon City, from kindergarten to 4th grade, studied at Assumption Convent in Manila from 5th grade to 1st year high school, then moved to the American School, now International School Manila in Makati. In 1972, while her father was putting into motion the enforcement of martial law in the country, Aimee and two of her siblings were abroad continuing their studies. Aimee attended Santa Catalina Convent, now Santa Catalina School in Monterey, California. The year after, she enrolled at Princeton University in New Jersey, where she took courses in religion and politics but without declaring a major. While at Princeton, Black and Asian students protested Aimee's admission into the university, as she was a dictator's daughter and a potential threat to students who opposed her father's regime. Aimee withdrew from Princeton in 1976, and back in the Philippines the following year, she entered the world of politics as the Kabataang Barangay's national chairperson, the position that Archie Trajano questioned at the PLM Open Forum. Aimee then returned to the U.S. to continue her education at Princeton, but withdrew again in 1979 and came back home to the Philippines without a college degree. Aimee enrolled at the University of the Philippines College of Law, which caused the student body to protest as she didn't meet the requirement of having an undergraduate degree. She caused further controversy in 1983 at a televised recognition ceremony pushed by her parents, where she was allowed to graduate magna cum laude despite not taking the required 35 units for her to graduate from the UP College of Law. The televised ceremony was different from the university's actual recognition ceremonies held days earlier. Wherever Aimee went, she was surrounded by bodyguards under the command of Chief of the Armed Forces of the Philippines, General Fabian Ver, who was her father Ferdinand Marcos's cousin and friend. Fabian Crisologo Ver was born on January 20, 1920 and grew up in Sarat in the same town as Ferdinand Marcos in the Marcos stronghold of Ilocos Norte. He acted as a guerrilla intelligence officer with the rank of 3rd Lieutenant during World War II, and he stayed in military service after the war, eventually achieving the rank of Captain in the Criminal Investigation Service of the Philippine National Police's predecessor, the Philippine Constabulary. In the 1950s, when Ferdinand Marcos was still a congressman, he chose his cousin Ver to be his bodyguard and chauffeur. In the 1960s, when Marcos was still a senator serving his term as Senate President, Ver was one of his military advisors. After Marcos was elected as the country's president in 1965, Ver's promotions would come even more rapidly. He continued to climb up the military ranks, becoming part of his cousin's inner circle and the most trusted military officer belonging to the Rolex 12, which was Marcos's closest and most powerful group of advisors, helping the dictator achieve full authoritarian control over the country during martial law. Ver was fiercely loyal to Marcos, and for his loyalty, he was appointed by his cousin as commanding general of the Presidential Security Group's predecessor, the Presidential Security Command, or PSC, the agency tasked with ensuring the safety and security of the Philippine president and his family. Ver also headed the National Intelligence and Security Authority, or NISA, which, before it became the National Intelligence and Coordinating Agency, acted as Marcos' secret police, placing spies in government and private institutions in search of anti-Marcos critics. Ver was his cousin's chief enforcer with direct access to the Marcos family. He was described as a Marcos man through and through by Juan Ponce Enrile, whose authority as Minister of National Defense Marcos disregarded in the 1980s, instituting that power instead into Ver. When martial law was lifted in 1981, Ver was appointed as Chief of Staff of the Armed Forces of the Philippines, turning him officially into the most powerful military officer in the country as head of the PSC, NISA, and now the AFP. In 1983, evidence was found to verify that Ver and his military were involved in the assassination of Senator and popular opposition leader Benigno Ninoy Aquino Jr. Ver declared his innocence but took a temporary leave of absence, and though no one actually identified who fired the gun that took Ninoy Aquino's life, later reports confirmed that the murder was a military conspiracy. In 1985, Marcos relieved Ver of his role as AFP chief, but after the Sandigan Bayan acquitted Ver of all charges, Marcos immediately reinstated him. Following the 1986 People Power Revolution that ousted Ferdinand Marcos as president, Ver and his family fled to Hawaii with the Marcoses, and it was there that Agapita Trajano, who happened to have migrated there, was able to file a case in federal court against Aimee Marcos and Ver. The complaint was filed on March 20, 1986, in the U.S. District Court for the District of Hawaii in Honolulu, seeking damages on behalf of Archimedes Trajano's estate for his, quote, false imprisonment, kidnapping, wrongful death, and deprivation of rights, end quote, and on behalf of Agapita Trajano for emotional distress. Fabian Ver was included in the complaint as it was under his authority and direction, pursuant to martial law that Aimee's bodyguards acted, referred to in the court transcripts as military intelligence personnel. The court entered a default judgment against Aimee, who didn't make an appearance. Aimee, whom the transcripts referred to as Aimee Marcos Manotoc as she had gotten married in 1981, contended on appeal that the district court had no jurisdiction under the U.S. Code's Alien Tort Statute and that the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act, or FSIA, did not authorize a federal court to assert jurisdiction over actions taken by a foreign government against its own citizens. The court, however, affirmed that it had jurisdiction over the case, stating that, quote, because Marcos Manotoc's default concedes that she controlled the military police, the FSIA is implicated, and we must be satisfied that it does not bar jurisdiction even though the issue was not raised in the district court, end quote. Aimee and her team of lawyers argued that Archie's torture and murder were, quote, brought about by persons acting pursuant to the authority of Marcos, Marcos Manotoc, and Vare, such that the liability of Marcos Manotoc is expressly premised on her authority as a government agent, end quote, essentially admitting to the tortious acts, but that they were committed as official acts within Aimee's authority, as given by the Republic of the Philippines. Aimee further contended that she was entitled to immunity because she was a foreign state's agent whose tortious acts occurred outside the US. Agapita, on the other hand, argued that the acts of torture and arbitrary killing can't be called official acts within whatever authority Aimee was given by the Philippines, and that under a previous ruling on Chuidian v. Philippine National Bank, the FSIA does not immunize acts of individuals outside the scope of their official duties. In 1991, Aimee moved to set aside entry of default on the ground of insufficiency of service, but her motion was denied. The Honolulu court ultimately found that, quote, Trajano was tortured and his death was caused by Marcos Manotoc, end quote, concluding that this violation of fundamental human rights constituted a tort in violation of the USC Law of Nations. Aimee was ordered to pay Agapita Trajano $4.16 million in damages, or around 582.5 million pesos in today's money, but as Aimee was then said to already be living in the Alexandra condominium in Pasig City, Metro Manila, Agapita had to file a motion before the Pasig Regional Trial Court to enforce the Honolulu Court's ruling and compel Aimee to pay. Aimee was declared in default when in July 1993 she ignored the RTC judge's summons. She argued that she was already a resident of Singapore and her Pasig condo unit was not her residence or place of business, and that Mackie De La Cruz, the condo unit's caretaker who received the summons, was neither a representative nor a resident of the place. The court rejected Aimee's claims, so she went to the Court of Appeals where she presented her Philippine passport as proof of her Singapore residency. This, however, was rejected by the CA as she didn't include the last two inside pages where her residence was indicated. The CA considered this a suppression of evidence and in 1997 upheld the RTC's findings. Aimee went to the Supreme Court, which in 2006, through Associate Justice Presbitero Velasco Jr., ruled that Aimee's place of residence was no longer relevant as the service of summons to the condo unit caretaker instead of Aimee herself was invalid. The judgment effectively reversed both the RTC and CA's rulings, allowing Aimee to ignore the Honolulu Court's decree and voiding the enforcement of her payment to Agapita Trajano. While the Marcoses were allowed to return to the country during the Corazon Aquino administration, Fabian Vare was only permitted to return during Joseph Estrada's presidency. He faced lawsuits that linked him to the assassination of Ninoy Aquino but was never convicted, and he died of pulmonary complications in Thailand in 1998 at the age of 78. Aimee, meanwhile, returned to the world of politics that same year, running and winning as Congresswoman of the 2nd District of Ilocos Norte. She became governor of the province in 2010 and won a seat at the Senate in 2019 when she was 63. During the 2019 elections, Aimee's educational background again sparked controversy when she claimed in numerous venues, including her official website and a campaign leaflet, that she graduated from Santa Catalina Convent as high school valedictorian, as well as from Princeton University with honors. Santa Catalina's assistant head of school, John Eme, however, disproved the high school graduation claim, stating that Aimee only attended their school briefly in 1972 but never graduated. And Princeton Deputy University spokesperson Michael Hotchkiss, in response to a query from Philippine online newspaper Rappler, said that the records did not indicate that Aimee was ever awarded a degree. It had already been known that Aimee never actually graduated from UP Law based on university records, despite the televised recognition ceremony in 1983, and that she wasn't even qualified for admission as she didn't have an undergraduate degree. She also claimed, however, in her government resume that she had earned a Master of Arts in Management and Business Administration from the Asian Institute of Management, but this was refuted by the school's Registrar and Student Enterprise Director, Brian Magbutay, who said that their institution had never even offered an MA, MBA. These falsifications didn't come as a surprise to many, as Aimee's brother Ferdinand Marcos Jr., or Bongbong, had also made false claims about his education when he ran for vice president in 2016. Aimee and Bongbong, as of this recording, are still trying to return to Malacañang Palace, with Bongbong running for president in the 2022 elections, all while continuing to trivialize or deny the human rights abuses and economic plunder that occurred during their father's administration. Aimee had claimed more than once, even on national TV, that she was too young to know about the human rights abuses during her father's presidency, despite being at the center of the human rights abuse that happened to Archimedes Trajano. Aimee never spent a day in jail for it in spite of her conviction, and she never paid a single centavo to the Trajano family. Aimee had said at a press briefing in 2018, not specifically about the Trajano case but about human rights abuses during the Marcos dictatorship in general, that she had repeatedly apologized to whomever had been hurt, but that the public shouldn't expect any admission of guilt for something that she and her family didn't do. In a video taken by Ryan Liegogo and Kathy Miranda at the briefing, she said,
"Nakailang beses na rin ako mag-apologize sa sino man na nasaktan sa hindi inaasahang mga pangyayari, pero eto nga, ang sinabi rin ni Bongbong at paulit-ulit na sinasabi ng nanay ko, kung ang inaasahan o dinidemand, ika nga, yung admission, palagay ko hindi naman pwede yun."
And when asked why, she answered,
"Bakit kami mag-a-admit sa hindi namin ginawa?"
Thank you for listening to Stories After Dark, a Spotify exclusive powered by Anchor. This episode was written, narrated, and produced by me, Derek. Music is by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. Stay tuned next week for a new episode, and to make sure you're updated about the show, please follow Stories After Dark on your Spotify app as well as on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you'd like to see the references used for this episode, suggest cases, send personal stories, or further support the show, you can go to storiesafterdark.ph for more information. All of the links are in the episode description.